salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, another day, another dollar. Back in the saddle again, as they like to say. Coach Dave coming to you from, as Mark Levin would tell us, an underground bunker outside the cornfields east of Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for joining us here today. I was on Hagman and Hagman last night from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and I got to tell you, it's kind of hard to unwind after that. Have to get your mind going back and forth and dialoguing, and that, you know, golly, the more I talk, the more I want to go in 12 different directions. So I didn't have a real restful sleep. Hope try to be sharp with you here this morning. Appreciate y'all joining us. I got an email from somebody yesterday. I got to follow up on this, Mike and Jared. Don't let me forget this. By the way, the listen-in number is 605-475-0017. 605-475-0017. You can listen to it live on your phone for free if you have unlimited minutes. You can go to CoachDaveLive.com. You want to join the huddle? Looks like we got room for one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And we got room for one more person to jump in here. In fact, somebody's ringing in my ear right now. You want to jump in? It's open. Hey, Mike, I want to remind you and Jared and Serge and anybody can help me. Had two guys yesterday email me, said, Coach, is there any way we can call into the show? So I want to try to bring that feature back. Don't let me forget to bring my phone down here. They can call my office phone. I can put them on speakerphone, put them up against there, and we can. People are out there, and they want to make comments, and they're just not able to get in. So I'm going to try to do that again tomorrow, get that up and running. I felt a little bit vindicated yesterday, by the way. A little vindicated. Yesterday, you guys watched the show. I was all pumped up because I thought I discovered something different regarding the film of Hitler falling over there. And then Larry set me straight and knocked my knees out from under me. I know he didn't do it on purpose, but when he set me straight, it did kind of knock my knees out from under me. It took me a while to get my legs back under me. But then I felt vindicated. When I was riding down the road, didn't have much else to do, so I turned on Limbaugh yesterday. Does anybody know what Limbaugh opened his show with yesterday? Yeah, the films. Why those two films didn't line up. And here I thought, maybe Limbaugh's watching us. You think he's getting up watching us? And the more I got thinking about it, and some other guys I've heard from, listen, guys, nothing happens by accident in the world that we're in, especially in this dark physical world and the people we are dealing with. Nothing happens by accident. I want to talk about Hillary. I got another direction. I got another direction I want to go, but I want to make this clear to you. Listen, understand this, guys. For whatever reason, they want us to know Hillary is sick. They want us to know it. Now, there's an old adage that when you're dealing with the demonic realm and the Masons and the Illuminati, they like to tell you what they're doing before they do it. They always are giving signs everywhere. They're always giving signs. And they're thinking about Hillary. She's just standing. They take her down, and she's just standing on a street corner. That's all she's doing. She's just standing there waiting for a Secret Service bus, whatever, to pull up and pick her up. Now, guys, listen. Come on here. If they didn't want us to know it, if Hillary was sick, they wouldn't have walked her down there and leaned her up against a pole, prop her up like an old totem pole, lean her there, wait for the Secret Service to come. I know from some people that I've spoken to that the person that you are protecting never makes themselves available until the vehicle arrives. It's one of the number one rules in security. Sarge, would you agree with that at all? I mean, you got a little bit more experience about this type of thing than I do. You don't take the President of the United States, stand him on the street corner, and wait for his ride. You just don't do that. But they did that. Go ahead, Sarge.
You're right.
You don't do that. You just don't do that. And second thing that you don't do is if they're really trying to keep her sickness secret, you're going to have this medical van or whatever it was. It's going to pull in a driveway back in some alley and get back up to the receiving center in the room that they're in and sneak Hillary out. You don't stand her up outside on the street corner in front of everybody and then have her collapse like that. You just don't do that. So what's going on? So I made the suggestion yesterday that I think they now know that Hillary's dead meat, that they maybe can't cheat enough to get her in, and so they have going to have to replace her. And what they're trying to figure out now is how they're going to do it and who they're going to replace her with. They thought she was a done deal, and they probably knew that she was sick, but they didn't care. They thought she would win by such a wide margin that she could just make public appearances, and then the men behind the curtain would run the entire show. And it's isn't it amazing? Come on now, did I freeze up again? Can you hear me okay, Mike? There I go. Isn't it amazing, think about this, that the least of our concerns should be Hillary's health? That's the least thing that bothers me, is her health. When it comes to voting for President of the United States, that's the least thing I'm worried about, her health. Although now it's really, it's gained some ground, got some trip. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried the fact she's a crook. I'm worried about the fact that the Clinton Foundation's a criminal enterprise. I'm upset that she's broken like 18 different laws. Those are reasons to get her out, not her health. But see, I believe, again, this is just speculation from me, that Clinton Foundation has now infiltrated every area of our government. I was talking on Hagman and Hagman last night, and that somebody made the question, Joe maybe asked the question, golly, why isn't anybody doing anything about it? Well, nobody's doing anything about it because everybody's been bought off. And all that money that went into the Clinton Foundation, if we ever would ever get to the bottom of that, we would find out that Hillary and Bill Clinton out of the Clinton Foundation feathered everybody's nests. They contributed to everybody's reelection campaign. Those donations go to everybody. They've gone to everybody in Washington, D.C. And Bill and Hillary have been smart enough to buy their opponents so that now everybody in D.C., they're afraid to... They're just trying to lay as low as they possibly can and hope that this whole thing goes away, that there's no investigation. Did you guys see that Chris Ruddy, may not mean a thing to you, Chris Ruddy runs Newsmax.com, one of the biggest conservative websites in America. Chris Ruddy gave $4 million to the Clinton Foundation. So these tentacles are running so deep in this governmental cabal that we have in Washington, D.C., and something has gone haywire. They no longer want Hillary to be president.
Hey, Coach. Now,
yes, yes.
I got to share with you because this is a perfect example. After I had retired, but I was still doing defense contracting in the D.C. area, I actually was involved with an opportunity to help a certain senator from the state of Maine who was running for Senate. I physically actually drove him and entered into Tony Podesta's office in D.C. So if you don't know who Tony Podesta is, he's probably the biggest lobbyist and money handler for the Clintons because his brother John was Clinton's chief of staff.
Right.
And after a 45-minute meeting, I can attest to you that that particular senator walked out of there with a $45,000 commitment from the Podestas for his election campaign. That's just one minute item. There are others that are involved with that, but I can tell you, you are spot on when you say they're all been bought out. The money line, follow the money, is unbelievable.
I just know in my knower that it is. And I got thinking about, Larry, what we talked about today with the video. It's no doubt in my mind that was done intentionally. that was done intentionally. And I thought, here I'm getting on some big news scoop. No, they love confusion. They love conspiracy theories. They love to throw all that stuff out there to get us distracted and chasing after the wrong thing.
Amen.
They've done a marvelous job of it. We're chasing after Hillary. And how many now, have you can go on YouTube and you check the videos. Now they want you to see what fell out of her leg. Something fell out of her leg, and something did out of her pant leg. Something fell out of her pant leg. And now there's a body double. And oh, she lost 30 pounds when she went into Chelsea's apartment. And by the way, if she was really sick, why did they take her to Chelsea's apartment? Not to the hospital. Why did, we are being manipulated. We're being manipulated. And we know that they're in control of all the media. We know that they're in control of both political parties. And I hate to keep telling you this. Why do they hate Trump so much? He's the wild card. If you go back to when Donald Trump was running for president, remember they laughed about him at the beginning? Oh, he'll never win. He'll never win. Oh, John Brockoff, good to see you down there, John. He'll never win. They laughed at him. Oh, he's going to run out the string. He'll be done by May. Oh no. Well, he'll be done by July. Oh well, he's not going to survive that. Over and over and over. So for those who say that Donald Trump was put in there as a stalking horse for Hillary, it just doesn't even make sense to me. And I really believe that he is not part of that cabal. I really believe that. But again, I don't want us to lose sight of something I think is so critical for us to understand. Turn to Ephesians 6. Anybody have anything to jump in and say right now? I'm open to Ephesians 5, rather. Ephesians 5. Anybody amen me or hit me in the mouth or anything? Here's the focus of what I want to talk about here today. I want to come back to the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. Demonic influence, demonic impact, and understand that there, call them what you want, there are Luciferians who are in control of our government. Does anybody find that hard to believe? And think about what a great job they've done as Luciferians, how they've made the devil just be he's a Halloween creature now. Just got the red horns and a tail. Everybody laughs about, the devil made me do it. We laugh about it. And the scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Think about that a minute. The love of money is the root of all evil. And all you have to do is follow the money. And you look at everywhere you go in this whole Clinton cabal and everything that's going on in Washington, D.C., it is all a chase, a pursuit of money. All of it. So you ask yourself, how do we get to this point? And when Jesus himself told us, well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that right now. I'm in chapter 4, I think it is. Oh, my goodness. I could just go through this Bible and I could pull out 10 different things. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Go there, Jared. I just flopped my Bible open. I'm going to talk to you today about the spiritual war. Because that's what's going on around us, guys. It isn't Republican and Democrat, conservative, liberal, and Hillary and Clinton. It's not. It isn't that. It's a far, far greater war than that. And I don't want to shock you. It's not just about America. That's why the whole New World Order, one world government, what do they call that? Globalism. And Trump's coming at it from a different direction. He's saying, no, America first. No, the globalists are fighting. Because remember, the battle is what? The battle is the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says this. I could start up higher, actually. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Who lies in wait to deceive? 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. Watch. 18. Having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not learned so Christ. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, sin not, neither give place to the devil. Now, somebody help me out here. The heck is Paul talking about here? What is he talking about? He's clearly talking about some type of spiritual war that's going on, although he doesn't necessarily call it a spiritual war. But he's speaking in a language, hear me, and an understanding that they get. They get it. He's not filling in the blanks because he knows they understand the blanks. He knows that they understand it. Let's go to Ephesians 5 real quickly, Jared. My goodness. Wow, that's awesome. Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance where? In the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. And it goes into the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and righteousness, proving whether Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul is painting for us a picture of doing the right thing in the kingdom of God and doing the wrong thing in the kingdom of darkness. This is a theme throughout the entire book of Ephesians. Go to chapter 6. I hope I'm making sense. I'm doing this just off the top of my spirit.
Amen, Coach.
Okay, thanks, Serge. Verse 6. He goes in to obey your parents, honor your father and mother, and yada, 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 go down things you ought to do. And then he says, verse 10, and finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Time out! What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? That how can the wiles of the devil impact me? How can it? But it does. He says, look, you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against the flesh and the blood, but we wrestle against, there they are again, those principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Guys, there are rulers of darkness in this world. There is darkness in this world, and there.
Coach, we can't hear you.
Lost your audio.
You went dead again.
Coach, you're muted.
There you go. Whoops. It came back.
No, you're muted. You're muted.
Now I'm okay. Now I'm okay,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, what would make that happen? Well, anyway, it shows I'm wrestling against those spirits. That's what I'm doing. I'm wrestling against those daggone things.
You are.
We are against these powers of darkness. Guys, Hillary Clinton is a power of darkness. Obama is a power of darkness. These are not just natural people being controlled by their own lust. This is so much bigger than what we understand. We know this, that the devil is the author of confusion and deception, and everywhere we look, we are, Larry, maybe it was you before we came on the air. Somebody before we came on the air talked about the, it's everywhere. It's just breaking loose everywhere. Well, that's part of it. It's part of overwhelming us with lies and deception. And everybody's talking about Hillary's sickness today. And what's the real issue? What's the real issue? It ain't Hillary's sickness. What is it? It's the selling of our government. That's really, it's a bait and switch. It's a bootleg. It's take your eyes off of the ball.
Yep.
That's what's going on. And for whatever reason, they made a play yesterday to totally and completely distract us away from all this other stuff Hillary did. And now it's just about her health. She's going to bow out. She's going to have to. Hang on. I'm still in Ephesians. Wherefore, excuse me. I'm going to read this again. I'm not going to yell. Verse 11. Verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Tells us two things. There is a devil. He does have wiles and techniques that he's using. Tells us a third thing. We have the power to be able to stand against it. But in order for us to stand against it, we have to believe the devil exists. We have to understand what the devil's weaponry are. And we have to be willing to understand that the greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we have every weapon that we need to combat it. With me so far? For we wrestle not. Think about wrestling. On top, underneath, on top, rolling over, barrel rolls. One's on top, one's on the other. So it doesn't say that we sucker punch or we jab or we box against. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities? Powers? Rulers of the darkness of this world? Against spiritual wickedness in high places? I don't know how he can make it any more clear to us. I don't know how Paul could make it any more clear that we are in a battle for seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Verse 13. So take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Must be an evil day. And what? Stand therefore. Put on your armor. Your loins girded about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that earnest may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. How can the gospel be a mystery? See, the gospel is a mystery because we don't understand the spirit realm. It's a mystery to us, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. Therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The average Christian has no idea what we're talking about. They have no idea what we're talking about. Spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, principalities and powers. Open the floor up. Anybody want to bark about something before I move to the next thing? Right in line with this, by the way.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
If you go over to Numbers 13:33.
Do it, guys. Numbers
13:33. And this is where there's an interesting tie-in. Of all my readings, I've never seen anybody actually comment on this, but it just sort of dawned on me in terms of numerology. But the line is, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Everybody understands that from the perspective of David and Goliath, and that Goliath was a giant. But look at the numbers, 13 and 33. If you add them up, it's 46. What does 46 represent? It represents the dual pair of the double helix DNA, 23 chromosomes X, 23 chromosomes Y. So what's the difference between man and the giants? It's the DNA. The DNA is part angelic, fallen angel angelic, and man. Whereas man, through Adam and Eve and the seed of the Abrahamic line and the seed of David, is totally human. Okay? It's all about the DNA. These giants, they're still around. And these giants are part of this cabal of people that you're referring to in Ephesians 6:12.
Yeah, we don't want to believe that. We want to laugh. We want to laugh it off, Kevin.
Right.
We want to laugh it off. I have my friend Rob Pugh. Rob, I know you'll listen to this later on. I got to figure out a way to bring this down. Rob sent me a book. I don't even know what else to explain it to you. How else to explain it? It's a book of history. And at the top of the book, you just turn it's page after page after page after page after page, and it shows at the top. Running along the top of each page as you flip it is the history of God's people, the Jews, the history of them. And then as you get underneath it, so up at the top, you got a timeline showing what's going on in the Bible. And then underneath it, it has world history and all the things that are going on in world history. As we're following history throughout the Bible, there's a whole nother world that's taking place. And so when we pick up the Bible and we read the Bible, understand we are not reading about the rest of the world and what's going on in the rest of the world. We're talking only about the nation of Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, and how God was able to get the seed of Jesus through and make it as a redeemer of the whole world. Rob sent me that book and I opened it up and I just gasped because I knew we were missing something. The Bible is not a world history book. It is a history book of the Hebrew nation and how God was able to set aside the seed of Jesus that came through. That's why it tells us in Genesis that it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And why God had to do come and had to have the flood, because he had to destroy all of this other crazy world that was operating at the same time that we're following through the history of the Bible. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that make sense to us? See, we don't even have a concept of when the flood came, that it didn't just flood the little old nation of Israel. It flooded the world. And it was the world that needed to be flooded, because why? It's about the seed. It's about the seed. Seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. And I want you to know this. Jared, let's pull up there. Which one is it? Jesus and demons. The people Jesus spoke to, they understood this. They understood this. I hope you guys can see this page. Look at this. Think about this. You hear somebody talking about demons today and casting out demons and the demonic world. And it's, you know, we think of The Exorcist and Linda Blair turning her head backwards and shooting out green poison or green pea soup, whatever it was. I want you to watch how much, look, just watch this. Jesus spoke about demons casually. Here are 28 different places where Jesus mentions demons or casting out demons, and the people don't say, well, what are you talking about? What? It was commonplace. They understood what we do not understand today. Matthew 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan. For it's written, you shall not worship the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Luke 11, 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And the demon had gone out, and the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Matthew 8, 16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't miss that. He cast out demons and healed the sick. We all often like to assume demons are causing sickness. Not always true. Verse Mark 1:34. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons and was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Luke 4:41. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but rebuking them. He would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. And he went, Mark 1:39, and he went into their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Where? In the church. Luke 13:32. People aren't shocked by this. They're not shocked by this. And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal." This obviously isn't King James. That's all right. Luke 4:35. Are you getting it, fellas? Are you getting it? Demons were not something unusual to Jesus during his time. It was not something that was unusual to the people. They knew what he was talking about.
Amen, Coach.
But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Luke 4:35. Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. Boy, that'd be something to see, wouldn't it? Matthew 8:32. And he said to them, "Go." And they came out and went into the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. Mark 5:8. And he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Luke 8:29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. See, this guy is so demon-possessed, they chain him down. Yet he would break his bones and be driven out by the demon into the desert. Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." What's going on here? Now the woman was a Gentile, the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Matthew 8:31, the demons began to entreat him, saying, "If you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of the swine." Matthew 9:33, and the demon was cast out. The mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Mark 16:9, now after he had risen early on that first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Verse Matthew 9:34, but the Pharisees were saying, "He cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons." The Pharisees even recognized that he was doing it, but they didn't recognize his authority. Matthew 12:24, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." They knew there was a ruler of demons. 12:24, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, oops, I just did that, I'm sorry. Matthew 12:27, if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? So evidently others are casting them out. For this reason, they will be your judges. Mark 3:22. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He's possessed by Beelzebub, and he casts out the demons by the rulers of the demons." They understand the spiritual realm. Luke 11:15. No, next one. I'm sorry, Jared. My eyes get twisted here. Luke 11, 18 and 19. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So Satan has a kingdom. This is Jesus speaking. If you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, well, if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Wow, my goodness. What's happened to our Christianity? Matthew 12, 26. If Satan comes out of Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Luke 11, 20. But I cast out demons by the finger of God. And that's how you know then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Matthew 12, 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Hey, Roger, when's the last teaching you had in your church on demonic possession and oppression? When's the last time those of you who are listening to this show ever heard this discussed in your church? Ever heard it? And as a result, people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't even understand what's going on. We don't even believe in demons. We don't believe in demonic possession. We don't believe in demonic power groups, the Illuminati, we don't even believe in all that stuff. As I told you, Doc Marquis, I ought to try to get Doc Marquis on here sometime. He's one that opened my eyes to it and said, you fool, don't you know that the devil has kids too? Don't you know the devil has rituals too? Don't you know that the devil has power too? Don't you understand that while the church is out playing to church, the devil's playing the devil? Don't you understand that? And we don't. We don't get it. I spoke to David Langford yesterday. Some of you don't know Pastor David. I know. I'm not dropping names. You know what Pastor David Langford said to me? I about wrecked my car. He says, Coach, I can't believe that people can't see the conflict that's going on inside of Hillary Clinton, that coughing demon is doing everything it can to try to get out. That this demon inside of Hillary is being exposed through this coughing. Now, whether the saints are praying the demon out or whether there's an eternal battle going on, it is very obvious with anybody with any understanding at all to know that there is a demon inside of Hillary Clinton. Time out, boys. Somebody slap me upside the face here and tell me where I'm missing it. Somebody help me out here. Did the demons all of a sudden just disappear? Jesus running around casting them out? All the Pharisees and Sadducees knew what they were? All of them casting out demons, knew that. But now they're gone? Demons are gone now? We no longer wrestle against flesh and blood? We don't have to do that? Yes.
No, they've been hiding in church, so-called churches.
Chad just, hey, listen, hang on, Rod. Chad, my buddy Chad in Texas just emailed me. You know what he said? Texted me. Average Satanist spends 35 hours a week in his church. The average Satanist spends 35 hours a week doing his church. Go ahead, Rod.
Let's assume we are correct. Let's assume that the scripture is truthful, as we know it is. It's clear of the demons that were around and living and acting during Jesus' time. Then the question I ask is, it is very obvious. Why then? Why is there not 10% of the pastors talking about it? Why is there not 5%? I would argue there's hardly any on radio, on TV, or behind the pulpit where I sit. Why? What is going on?
Anybody want to weigh in on that? I have an opinion.
Back to the basics.
I agree with Larry. Here's what I would say. Most guys standing in our pulpits learned what they learned from somebody else. They learned how to be a pastor by sitting under a pastor or a seminary. In fact, we live in a time and an age today where most pastors aren't even seminary trained. I know a lot of, listen, I just had this conversation this weekend. I know a lot of good pastors who have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, they may believe in the spiritual realm. They may believe in demons, but they don't believe that it's active demonic forces are fighting for control of this nation. They do not understand that. They don't get it. For whatever reason, they think you get a demon of poverty, or a demon, you get a demon of infirmity, or you may get a demon of alcoholism, but they don't understand that the battle is so much bigger than all that stuff. And all those other things, the demon of alcoholism and infirmity, they are put there to distract you, to trap you, to hold you down, to keep from being effective for the kingdom. Help me here, Sarge.
I had to find the mute button. Look, I just posted a link in the chat for anybody who wants to look at it.
I'm looking at it. That's good.
Chris Putman, if you're not familiar with him and Tom Horn have written several books. But in one of his books, it might even been in his own book, The Supernatural View, he goes back and talks about when Jack Parsons, the rocket engineer out of the Jet Propulsion Lab, and L. Ron Hubbard got together trying to do an experiment which they called the Babylon Working, which was trying to bring in the movie Rosemary's Baby. That's mm-hmm. the story where they were trying to bring a demonic into a birthed baby.
Time out a minute, Kevin. You guys remember that Rosemary's Baby? How that was, what, in the 70s? I mean, that was way back in Fargo. They were telling us back in the 70s that they were trying to birth spiritual entities into this world. Go ahead, Kevin.
And as a result, Chris said he actually looked at people of notoriety that were born within the so-called time of the birthing of Babylon Working, and guess who fit the highest person who fit the category that could have been the person that was born at that time? She's running for president.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's Chris Putnam's take on it, but that's a theory.
So Kevin, we can laugh, right? We can laugh about we want this, all we want to. Look at Barack Obama. Nobody becomes president of the United States like he did. He went from being a nobody to being a state senator to being a U.S. senator to be president of the United States faster than you can sneeze. That, my friends, just does not happen unless there are people in positions of authority who are making sure that he gets there, which he did. And that's why when you look back over this last election, the one that we're in right now, they had Bernie in there, but Bernie really was Hillary. It's been Hillary. They've been waiting on Hillary for how long? Because she was the next one in line. It's not free elections. The democratic process and the Democratic Party wasn't free. We know Bernie probably got more votes than Hillary, and yet they want to give us Hillary. Why? Evil spirits in high places. Guys, this is more than just politics. I'm going to tell you something. Our Congress has been bought. Our House of Representatives, our senators, our judges have been bought. They've been paid off by these Luciferians. When I'm talking about Luciferians, there are actually people who serve the devil. How do we know that? Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the work of your daddy you're going to do. And Kevin, you put something over here on the side that is actually 100% true. The Jews at the time of Jesus knew about the book of Enoch.
Amen.
They knew about it, and they understood the poison DNA and the Nephilim and the giants. They knew it. So therefore, they were not shocked when they saw Jesus going around and taking on these entities. Wouldn't you think that Jesus, if he's casting out demons, wouldn't you think that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would be saying, what are you doing? Man, what's going on? If this was something new, what's going on? Demons? What do you mean by that, Jesus? No, they knew exactly what he was doing. Because why? They had information that we don't have.
Hey, Coach. Boy,
this tinfoil hat, isn't it? This tinfoil hat. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, something you just said, I'm prompted to say again. Now, there's probably somebody out there listening that well needs to receive this. Jesus looked at those religious leaders in the synagogue and said, "You are of your father the devil."
Amen.
Now, if there are children of the devil, then not everybody on the face of the earth is a child of God. Okay? Now, there are most, a great, super huge majority of people in the churches believe everybody's a child of God on the whole face of the earth. That makes Jesus a liar. So if you believe everybody on the face of the earth is a child of God, you better start thinking about where that belief came from. And
we're all God's children. We're all God's children, Larry. We're all God's children.
If you really believe that, then you have to say Jesus was a liar. So now you've got to make your mind up. You can't be on the sidelines any longer. Every one of you who is in that paradox has got to come out on one side or the other moment on.
Because why? See, we don't want to go there. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. If I had the book that Rob Pugh gave me and I opened it up and I show you what's going on at the time of Noah, and then you look down and you see what's going on in the rest of the world, you are going to go, wow. Wow. The Bible is a book of a journey by God's people. It's not a historic account of everything that's going on in the world. Do you guys understand that? You understand that? There's a history outside of the Bible. We have a Bible history, and then there's a more of a history that we don't have any idea or any concept of. Genesis 6. How am I doing, Roger? Making you think today? I'm sorry, Dusty watched, or Dylan missed this. I'm sorry, Dylan missed this. Dylan, daggone you, make sure you listen to it on tape. Hey, guys, I'm getting more and more bold. I'm not afraid to talk about this stuff anymore, because if I don't talk about it, I feel like I'm lying to you. It's like you go to the doctor and you want to get a prescription to take care of what your illness is, and he's treating you for something that he's giving you some medicine and won't even take care of it. And so we come, we go into our churches, and they're giving us prescriptions that don't even take care of it. We don't even know what the stinking disease is. We don't even understand that people are being controlled by the demonic realm. We don't even know that. Kevin Bushy, Sergeant Kevin, said here on the right side, I don't know if you guys can read this. This is for the people who maybe are listening. Kevin put this. Think about this. The New World Order, the Luciferians, they needed Obama to incite nation against nation, which is race against race. Remember how we thought Obama was going to come in and race relationships were going to get all better and everything because we finally got a black man, and boy, now we're just not racist anymore. We accept the black man, and what did he do? He did the exact opposite. He stirred it up more and more and more. Nation against nation, race against race. So we have to be careful, as Kevin said, for all those new agers who proclaim we're all one. Larry, we ain't all one, brother. We're not all one. We're not all children of the King. We're not all. We could be. We could be. His love is available. But we're not all there. Anybody? Before I get you to Genesis, go ahead and turn to Genesis. Okay. Where am I? Okay. Verse 3. I'm sorry, Jared. Genesis 3. I didn't tell you where. Genesis 3. It talks about the woman being deceived. Let's go ahead and put that up here on the screen. I'll put it up on the screen here as well. But I want you to see something. After Eve falls and she's deceived. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What the heck have you done?" And the woman said, "Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I ate." Amazing, isn't it? That even back then, the serpent was able to beguile her. That See, Eve was in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden and couldn't even recognize evil. She couldn't recognize it. Evil hadn't been exposed. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Now watch. So the Lord God turned to that old snake and said, hey, dude, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat. Dust, by the way, man's made of dust. Remember, man, thou dust, and dust they shall return. The devil's eating men. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of their life. And I will put enmity, an eternal battle, a struggle between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. There it is, guys. There it is. There's the tip-off. There's the kickoff of the eternal struggle that we are seeing playing out before us right here and now. The devil's kids and God's kids. Why are the devil's kids eating our lunch? Because we don't even believe they exist. We think Hillary's just dumb. We think Obama's just stupid. We think we don't get it, man. We don't get it. Somebody jump in and save me here. My cell phone's banging. People are, that's why I gotta get my phone working. People are trying to get in here. Anybody? No? So what do we do? Yeah, Jared.
I had a conversation with somebody a little while ago. And we've been lied to so much about everything. The conversation ended with him thinking I'm insane, I think, legitimately. But we're lied to in school. We're lied to in church. We're lied to on YouTube channels. We're lied to everywhere. So how do you know? How do you know what's the truth? You know, how do you know what's the truth?
Amen, Jared.
And so and you can be lied to about the Bible. You could spin a Bible verse and come up with whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do. And so how do you know? And it's like what you're saying, Coach. It's the knower. It's like the Holy Spirit. Like, you look at it and you say, well, how does this relate to this other thing in my life? And does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. Or no, it doesn't. Or let me try it out and see if it works, you know? And then you create your own system of judging truth. And we just don't do that anymore. We just suck it all in. And then you're just worthless. Can't even think.
You're overwhelmed and distracted. You're overwhelmed and you're distracted. You don't know. You don't even know which way to turn. What's real and what's not real. And that's why the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And I'm telling you, yesterday, Larry, when I came out with that thing about that video, I knew in my knower something wasn't right, Larry. And then when you said that, well, you know, they can superimpose it. Okay, I believed you, and it made sense. But then I thought, why? They said it was even taken from a different angle, and it wasn't taken from a different angle. It was taken from the same angle and just reversed. Why? And see, that's what we've stopped doing in Christianity and in the world, is asking that question, why? Why?
I've got some help for everyone, Coach, and for Jared. Go to John chapter 7 real quick. We've been here before. Jared asked, how do you know the truth? How do you know the truth? The church tells lies. Well, it's not the messenger that you need to be concerned with. It's not the message you need to be concerned with. It's yourself you need to be concerned with. Because John 7, verse 17 says, if anyone wills to do his will, speaking of the Father, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So when you're wondering what is truth, what is truth? How do I know what truth is? Get your own life lined up with truly desiring to do God's will in your life, and then truth will be your knower knows.
Jared?
Hey, good.
It's kind of interesting you say that, Larry, because in this conversation with this person, I told them, you know, I don't really do anything I don't want to do anymore. It's just that what I want to do is what God wants me to do, mostly, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't do anything I don't want to do. And they didn't understand. They're like, you're super selfish. And I was like, well, I guess I am. I don't do anything I don't want to do. But what I don't want to do is I kind of want to do what God wants me to do.
Amen. You know? Yeah. So you do have the ability to control that for the most part, right? And it's not that you're not tempted. It's not that you're not tempted. You could go do that. I when I get in a discussion with people, I said, listen, I could be lost in a minute. I could be where you are. It'd be so easy. Drinking beer, chasing women, doing drugs. Hell, that's easy. I could do that. Can you stop doing them?
But I've been fighting.
Of course, they can't stop doing them, right? That's the power of the truth and the power of the gospel. Serge, you were saying something before I walked on you.
I keep notes, sort of, and just to show you guys how strong the Holy Spirit is working in all of you guys, these scriptures that you're bringing up, we've been bringing up two or three times in the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and that's how strong the Holy Spirit is pushing you guys. I mean, Larry, you brought up exactly what you brought up a couple times. Coach, you brought up two or three of the verses a couple times, and it's all pointing to the same thing. Demons, possession, it amazes me.
A spiritual realm, brother, a spiritual realm. So, Serge, I believe the Holy Spirit has us continue to do it because, like a good football coach, you come to my football practice. I hate to use my because it wasn't my. You come to football practice, and you're gonna you won't know whether you're there on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday because we're doing the same thing. You did that yesterday. Yeah, we ran all those plays yesterday, and you're doing them again today. Yeah, we're doing all those plays again today. Yeah, we're doing them again today, and we're gonna do them again tomorrow, and we're gonna do them again on Thursday, so that when we get in the game on Friday, we know what to expect and we know how to run our plays. But we don't do that. We don't do it over and over and over and over until we have it mastered. We want to dib and dab and do this and do this and do this, and we never, ever get anything mastered, and then we cannot figure out why we're not more effective with our faith.
Amen.
So I am trying to zero in to let you know that there is a spiritual world around you, a demonic influence in that spiritual realm that is trying to control everything. And by the way, that spirit inside of you has authority over every one of those demons in that demonic world. But if we don't admit that that demonic world is there, we will never exercise the power that's available to us. It's like a guy says, I'm not storing any food. I'm not going to store any food. We don't need it. We'll be okay. And then what happens? Then they get a tornado and the power goes out and he doesn't have any food. Well, the knowledge wasn't any good to him because he didn't act upon the knowledge that he had been given. So I'm trying to help us to understand that we have a spiritual enemy, not just personally, in the larger realm of things. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, they are in conflict. It's what the entire Bible is about. Why would we be surprised that there's a demon-possessed man in the White House? Why would that surprise us? Why would it surprise us that we have a demon-possessed woman wanting to move into the White House? Why would that surprise us? You know what surprises us? Because we're ignorant of his devices. We don't even think the spiritual realm exists. We don't even think there's a demon. We don't even believe in demonology, or the New World Order, or Masonic, or incantations and spells. We don't believe in any of that. Boy, the other side sure does. They believe in their God a lot more than we believe in ours. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, amen. Hey, Coach, Luke 21:26. This is why you're doing what you're doing. men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Oh, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Wow.
Amen, Kevin. Amen,
so there are
Kevin.
Powers of heaven, right? Now, hey, Kevin, he's not talking about heaven where we go to heaven. He's talking about the heavenly realm. The powers in that heavenly realm are going to be shaken, baby. And they're being shaken right now in front of us. Now, you can take your, you can never watch again. Take your tinfoil hat and roll it up in a big ball and put it in your trash and throw it away. Or you can come in here tomorrow and we're going to continue, as Serge just said, we're going to continue to hammer you with the truth until you can make 50 foul shots in a row. And until you can make 50 foul shots in a row, you have not been proficient at shooting foul shots. You can't say, well, I shot 10 shots. How many did you make? Five. Well, good. That means in the game you're going to make three. You won't be any good to us. And until we understand the enemy and what's going on, we're going to continue to get overrun by evil forces. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Share this with your friends if they have the courage to watch it. How about this one? Do you have the courage to share it? Coach Dave, we'll see you tomorrow.